Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of PrepareForChange.net radio show. If you appreciate our shows that are on varying subjects to support your health, wellness, spirituality, environmental, governmental, and social subjects, then please go to PrepareForChange.net and use the donate button in the right-hand column to help support our worthwhile organization. Today, my guest is Frank Cooney, Executive Director of the California Citizens for Health Freedom, a grassroots advocacy organization committed to protecting and expanding consumer natural health choice. For the past 30 years, he has been a legislative advocate for citizens' rights for natural and effective alternative health and medicine. He is recognized by the California Medical Board and many legislators as a citizen's advocate for natural health. His accomplishments have rated him as one of the most successful citizens' advocates in the nation. Please visit the website at citizenshealth.org. Welcome, Frank.
Thank you. I won't define it as a job. I will define it as a role.
Okay.
Because a job normally implies pay and pension and all the things that go with it. And the role that I'm in, first off, the role is I'm Executive Director of California Citizens for Health Freedom, which is a 501c4 nonprofit organization. That means it's a community-based organization, but it is not a charity organization like a church or Cancer Control Society. It's a 501c3. But a 501c3 may not do legislative work. And the 501c4s, I can do legislative issues.
I see.
So that's the difference between them. We are a small group. We do have a board of directors. It meets monthly via telephone conference because some of them are in Southern California, some board members are in Northern California. At times, some of them are in the states, but we can all meet via the telephone. So decisions are made, like most nonprofit organizations, by a board of directors. And it's my role to carry out then the goals and objectives and what the board approves to occur. Some of the board members are physicians, and most of them are laypersons interested in the area of health and freedom and citizen. We have in the past done, originally it got started when the issue of the dietary supplement bill was being presented. The FDA had taken control over the ability of the nutritional industry and the supplement industry. It was making it very difficult, and a law was passed and approved, and the dietary supplement bill nationwide was to change that. It took 5 years of effort. I coordinated California's effort in that for National Citizen for Health. At the victory meeting of the board, one of the board members said, California has some of the worst laws in the nation, and we ought to work on the laws, change those laws that are so bad in the nation. And the national board said, no, they'll work on federal bills, but won't work on state bills. So some of the board members from California said, let's form a separate organization to work on the state bills. So that's when we formed California Citizens for Health Freedom, and I was requested by those board members to be the executive director of that board. It's been a small board, but we have done a couple issues. The big one is we helped pass the bill for licensing of naturopathic doctors in California. We also helped when the threat was made against licensed midwives who did home birth, natural births, versus the hospital C-section births that were occurring, very large numbers were going that way because they make money off of it. We managed to work the defense up of them and succeeded and able to keep their license and practicing on. And there were a couple other issues, but those were the bigger issues. But we've had, one of the things that was listed was California has the strictest law in the nation on cancer. And we have introduced bills. The first bill we introduced was to make it legal for physicians to practice natural alternative treatments. These can be use of herbal products or supplements or other than drugs, surgery. And the bill did go through and did get passed, but at the last minute it got amended. So it was amended that cancer could only be treated through the use of chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery, which was the law originally, but it got stuck into our new bill. So our bill was passed, so the treatment of diabetes and other diseases can be done through the natural processes.
Well, but that sounds like a victory.
Yes, it is. It was a halfway victory because the cancer one remained into it. So the only thing a licensed physician can do on the treatment of cancer is chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery. So we've put bills in several times now. The last time the bill was in, a senator from San Diego sponsored the bill. And when he approached the chair of the Senate Health Committee, and the bill had to go through the committee, he was told by the senator, "I will not permit it to go through my committee, and it's automatically dead unless I can change it a little bit." So the senator said, "Yeah, go ahead and change it a little bit." Well, he changed it so badly, we just dropped the bill, because it would have been a bad bill. So we're back again at starting gate, and now trying to gather enough community support, individual support from individuals, to assist on reintroducing the bill next year. And that's our intent, is to try and reintroduce the bill next year. So we're in the grassroots stage of formation at this point, of letting people know we want to change the law so that physicians, well, in reality, California should be the leading center in the world on cancer treatment and other treatments. We have such resources in the state, particularly at our university levels and our research centers, to be able to do that. But Germany's lead. We have about 2,000 people a year that go to Mexico for treatment of cancer because they're far more advanced than we are into it. And we got people to go to Canada for treatment. We've got two physicians, one treats in Arizona and one treats in Nevada. I think both of them originally were from California and fled the state to keep their license, but they do alternative treatments of cancer. Alaska got a freedom bill passed in Alaska. And so without any question of doubt, California has the most restrictive law in the nation, and we should have it open so that people can travel from all over the world, come to California for treatment. It would help the economy greatly. But what we have is huge amount of money, actually billions of dollars, going to the what I call the cancer industry, the drug industry, chemotherapy industry, and to the oncologist, and to the hospitals. Hospitals buy the chemotherapy drug at reduced rates and charge the patient full charge. So hospitals are making money on cancer treatment, but it doesn't show on their bill. It's a good way that they can, I won't say a good way, it's a way they make additional money. They probably do it on all drugs use. Otherwise, get it at a discount and charge the patient full price for the service. And that's questionable to me why they do that. Actually, the cost of cancer, I understand, per individual, per year, runs from $300,000 to $500,000. That's per person.
And is this money that is paid by their insurance, or a combination of themselves and their insurance, or the state if they don't have private insurance?
It is above what insurance companies will pay. So if families want, believe that I'm going to save my wife or my husband or my mother's life, I will make up the difference. The largest cause of bankruptcy is paying medical costs. Causes bankruptcy in the state, which shows it's above the insurance cost. Now, the individuals are on Medicare or Medi-Cal. I'm assuming that the taxpayer is paying a great deal of the difference. See, so the result is, I believe it's eating up our taxes. So I believe that much of our money that we have in our state is going to pay the drug companies for what I consider very excessive cost. But in order to change the bill, to change the law, we have to have somebody author the bill, and then we have to be able to get it through four committees. It'll be five, but the first committee is just a committee where they approve all bills to go through and put a number on them. But a bill gets drafted by somebody, and then a legislator, either an assemblyman or a senator, agrees to be the author of the bill. We've drafted the bill. The bill then must go to the Ledge Council's office, and the Ledge Council will look at it and see, is it in conflict with other laws? Otherwise, will have to be put in the bill to affect more than one section of the health code or the business and profession practices code. And it happens on this cancer one, it affects both of those. So, and it becomes that code, those changes, and then it goes back to the legislator, and the legislator then must try to get it to go through the four committees. That is, two committees on the Senate side are Health Committee and Business, Profession, Practices, and Economic Development. The same committees composed of assemblymen are on the assembly side, so they got those two committees. So a bill might be voted, if it's authored by a senator, then it'll go to the Senate Health Committee first, in all likelihood, or Senate Business and Profession Practices Committee, depending on the scheduling. If it gets approved by that committee, then it goes to the second committee. If it's approved by the second committee, then it goes to the other part of the other side of the hill. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, from the Senate Health and go through those. If it goes through all four of the committees successfully, then it has to go through the total legislative, both the Senate and Assembly.
Then it's up for a vote.
Then it's up for a vote for all of them to go through. But if a bill is approved by those four, in all likelihood, it'll just go through. You see, is the area. Now, the last time we put a bill in, which was only 2 years ago, the bill went to the Senate Health Committee chair, who happens to be a pediatrician, a physician, and chair of the Senate Health Committee, and he told the senator who was sponsoring our bill, I will let the bill go through our committee only if I can reword it some. And he reworded it, and when the bill was done, it went through the committee, but it was so bad, we just dropped it. We didn't let it go any further. We didn't refer to any of the committees. It was a dead bill. So we are in the process then of this next year of hopefully finding another author and putting the bill through again and see what we do. Unfortunately, there's a recall movement on the senator from Sacramento, the physician, because he did the bill for vaccination of children. He wrote that bill and pushed it through. So there's a recall movement, and if the recall is successful, then we'll have a different chairman next year.
Will that recall the bill?
No, it won't recall the bill, it'll recall him.
Yeah.
But it means our chances to get it through the Senate Health Committee is improved. You see, it helps on that process. Mm-hmm. So that's something where hopefully that will change. Passage of the bill will, as I see it, first off, it'll make it legal so that there are physicians in California who know how to do alternative, integrative, holistic-oriented cancer treatments. Really, the difference between the two is chemotherapy is a drug, and the drug makes you very ill. and it has you lose your hair. After a time period, it weakens your immune system, the function of which the immune system is what protects you.
That's right.
On cancer. So you're at a weakened body system, and the cancer can get worse. And in a couple of years, the patient will be saying, I don't want to live any longer. I've been sick for 2 years now.
Yeah.
The hospital costs are so high. The family is going broke. I don't want to live any longer. People in the stage 4 cancer, 97% of them die within the first 5 years. Otherwise, the death rate is very high. Now, the question is, did they die of cancer or did they die of chemotherapy? That's the question. Or did they die of the combination? Or did they die of the depression and give-up-itis?
Yes.
That's in there.
It's probably all of the
above.
It's
better for my family if I get out of here. Because all they have to deal with then is a funeral.
Yeah.
You see, this medical cost. Because the family is going broke, possibly going bankrupt already in that situation. So the result is taxes, money that it's going out in taxes now that's going to support this industry, the chemotherapy industry and the medical monopoly, if I can call it that. Yeah. The oncologists that do the cancer treatment specialize in that. The general practitioners are not allowed to do it. So they're making quite a bit of money. And the hospitals are making money, I think, as I indicated earlier. So our tax rate, tax money, we'd have more money to spend on different projects, otherwise on schools. Well, one of the ways possibly is developing a better education program at the high school and elementary school level on how to live healthy. Because we know that cancer and other diseases are related to diet and lifestyle. Why shouldn't we be teaching diet and healthy living at the elementary and high school level so that we can have a healthier people? You know, There are 38 industrial nations in the world. There is a measurement made to determine the health status. Is the society of which countries are healthy and which ones are not healthy. Out of the 38, we're number 37. Only one country of the industrial countries is worse than we are. We're way down there. Yet, our cost in medicine and health is higher than all of those other countries put together. We spend more money in medicine than England, France, Germany, and other countries, Canada, Mexico. We spend more money than all of in health, medicine, than all those countries put together. Yet we are way down in the health status. This is terrible. And of course, the struggle then for medical freedom,
Saunders?
No, I'm talking about in the constitutional time period when the Constitution formed, there was a physician who'd been trained in England, but he was working on the constitutional issues. And he declared that medicine ought to be the same as religion. Freedom of medicine and freedom of religion should be in the Constitution. It's not. Freedom of religion is in the Constitution, but not freedom of medicine is not in the Constitution. Now, the reason why Mexico does so well, that people leave California to go to Mexico, about 2,000 plus a year, is in the Mexican Constitution, freedom of medicine exists.
Mm-hmm.
See? And that's what is lacking, is we lost that, we never got that freedom to start with. Mm-hmm. We had freedom of religion, but we never had freedom of medicine. because it's my belief that a licensed medical practitioner, whether a naturopath license or a health provider of different types or a medicine, ought to be able to sit down with the patient and between the two of them discuss all options, and between the two of them make the decision what is going to happen. You see, that is not what goes on now in our nation. Essentially, you go to a physician, you go to his office, and the first thing you say is, he asks, what's the problem? And you may say, I have headaches, or I have a stomach ache, or what have you, you know. And he says, okay, here's the prescription, see the nurse and go get it filled out. 5 minutes of the information of your health status is given and taken, and away you go on drugs. Well, it happens that many drugs have a good purpose, but all drugs have a side effect. And the combination of the side effect can cause a greater illness or another type of situation within the body. So all you have to do is go to an area, like I've gone to see the heart doctor a number of times, and people walk in with a bag full of pills. Mm-hmm. And that's what they have. They have one pill, and the side effects of that drug, they had another, have another one to deal with that side effect, and then another one to deal with that combination of side effects, and it just goes on. And what's happened is, you're just suffering from drugs and drugs. Whereas the holistic trained provider, whether we're talking about a good dietitian, or we're talking about a naturopathic doctor, or we're talking about a family practitioner, you know, say, let's talk a little bit. You know, how long have you had your problem? What are the health problems you have? What type of stress do you have? And the job you have, do you have toxins on the job that you could be exposed to? Does the job have metal? You have possible metal poisoning? You know, find out about the type of environment the person's in. Then you can make a decision about, oh, well, the person has heavy metals, and we need to put them in through a process to get rid of the heavy metals. And we don't have to give them a drug to take care of what he talked about originally, but we have to help them become healthier. So our system should be based upon getting the patient in a healthy status. So we have to make changes, in my view, in our educational system. We need to make changes in our medical system. We need to make it difficult for the drug industry to be paying off or providing grants to the medical hospitals that are training physicians, that they're just pushing the drug approach. Mm-hmm. The approach we have now. I've listened to a program put out by the Great Courses, which is a private company that manufactures or puts out CDs, educational CDs, generally well done by college professors. Everything from, would you like to see Italy or France or history or about this president, what have you. And they have one program on the science of natural healing. And the physician who does the presenting on that, she does 24 sessions, 20 minutes each. And she had been a cardiologist who put stents in. And she put thousands of stents in. Mm-hmm. And says, I agree when a person needs the emergency system that the medical need. And I would agree if I'm in an automobile accident, I want a good surgeon. I don't want a holistic one. When I'm recovering from the operation, then I want a holistic doctor on the recovery stage. We need both of those. See, and she goes into that process of the same type of thing, that what you have to do is take charge of your life so you don't have to have that surgery. You don't have to have that stent put in. You go into the good diet. You go into deep relaxation. You go into meditation processes. See, and I agree completely with what she does on that, in that program. See, and that's kind of lays the groundwork of what should be done in a lot of places. The good base for high school. I use it. I'm in a housing apartment house for senior citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all over 65 into it. And a lot of them have conditions, but come to find out of the 40 apartments, almost half of them have diabetes.
Wow.
Wow is right. See, and I'm using that course for them and work on how can you reverse diabetes. And that's a good example. Because diabetes, we know now scientifically, type 2 diabetes can be reversed completely.
Mm-hmm.
Where you don't need any medication at all. And we also know scientifically that the medication that the doctors give us on diabetes cause weight gain. So you can look down and say, oh, I see somebody pretty heavy. Are you a diabetic? You know, are you pre-diabetic? Because you get diabetes from being overweight. Not necessarily. You get type 1, can be inherited, I understand. But the treatment for it under diet can make it very manageable. That you don't need medication to manage it mm-hmm. if you have the right lifestyle. Well, that's what I'm talking about. We can begin thinking about almost all diseases, and they fit into that category. But what we're having is more and more drugs, and less choice. Let's say a parent has a child who has cancer, and cancer as a disease is the number one killer of children in the United States as far as diseases are concerned. Mumps, diabetes, you know, a whole range of them. But of course a diabetic, if they don't watch it, will get cancer. And being a diabetic also is a forerunner of Alzheimer's disease. Like I said, mm-hmm. It's related. Get some early and change them. But if a child they have cancer and you go to a conventional doctor and you say, no, I'm not going to put my child through that process. I'm going to take my child to see Dr. Brzezinski in Texas as an illustration. The physician can pick up the phone, call Child Protective Agency, and you can be arrested for attempting to take your child to where he should not be going, to what you consider the best treatment, and the child can be taken from you and required to go through the treatment. So you have a double phase law, if we can have that. So when you're in the conventional group, it's difficult, you know, to make that decision. You know, boom, say you want to take the child, say I want to go to the City of Hope Treatment Center in Mexico, which has an excellent reputation. No. You say, you can't do it. So our legislative issue is we want to change that. Now, unfortunately, we're a small organization. We're not wealthy. I have no staff at all. I have no secretary. Mm-hmm. I do most of the work myself. But we are effective in doing our legislative advocacy, but in order to get this next step on the cancer bill change, I need help. I need citizens who will say, yeah, I will talk to other citizens. I will speak to other groups, such as today at the cancer conference, I had a black woman approach me who was probably 60 in that area. And I thought, oh, well, I don't know what it is. And she says, on Tuesday night, I'm a member of the Democratic Central Committee for LA, and I'll bring the issue up and ask them to support you. We have some of the, up in my area, the Republican Federation Women's Club has agreed to support. The Democratic Central Committee has agreed to support. You know, it's different clubs that I spoke to and say, yeah, they want to support, they want to get involved, and we've got to organize and get more of them, but we want to get college groups involved too, you know, to get the action and getting them organized and doing that takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it takes money. And it takes people to help. And your listening audience, if they would like to help, they can email me at freedom@citizenshealth.org. And in their email message that they're emailing, give me their name, give me their what city they're in, what their zip code is, and give me some information about themselves. And I will be sending emails to people about how they can help. And if they would like to say, yeah, I'll pledge $10 a month to your organization and put in their credit card and the information they have, great. Then we'll have money to go and work on, because the last couple of months have been pretty tight. I've had to run the organization on about $100 a month that we had in donations from one physician. Well, I bought an auto so I can get back and forth, go the 65 miles to Sacramento to do the legislative advocacy, and the payments are $200-some-odd a month. The insurance is $100-something a month. So I have to take all that. I took that out of my Social Security.
Yeah.
You see, the printing material for this conference, you know, for information and for other things, those all cost.
Sure.
You see, so even though I don't draw a salary, I really do need to have my expenses covered for being the executive director, being the legislative advocate for everybody.
Sure.
Do you think that'll do it now?
I think that really sounds good to me, and I appreciate you explaining your position in this, not job, but in this
role,
exactly. And I hope that other people that listen to this will
come aboard,
contribute to you, and help you keep things going, because this is important. This is our health.
If they can't help financially, they can help talking to people that we've got to get the bill passed. They can write a letter or send an email to their senator or to the assembly person saying, you ought to think about this that Citizen Health is working on and want to do a bill. We want you to see support that. If they belong to an organization, they ought to say, as an organization, we ought to, as an organization, vote to support. That doesn't necessarily mean money, but to support. So an organization, all bills can have co-sponsors. Citizen Health is the key sponsor, but if another group, another organization is coming aboard at no cost, their name can be added as co-sponsors of the bill. Mm-hmm. Just like a bill can have co-authors, legislators. So if the legislator from Butte County is the author, the legislator from Los Angeles can say, we'll be a co-author of the bill. You see, so individuals and organizations getting involved.
Yes.
And when people get involved in important issues, it's better for their health.
Very true. Do you only do health-related issues?
Primarily.
That's important.
Well, the thing is, there's a limited amount of time that I have and an ability with no staff, and I will be 85 this by December.
Wow.
So the amount of energy that it can have to do a project, and I put a lot of energy into it, is I have to reserve what I'm going to be involved in. And I recognize other citizens are like that. They got to put their energy into the PTA or into their business or, you know, into a healing process, into many ways. So people do have conflicts of where they're going to put their energy just to where they're going to put the money. But if people can see fit, we'd appreciate both energy and financial resources, even if it's only $5 a month. That adds together. And it means it's a way of saying, thank you for the effort. We appreciate you doing it.
Yes.
And that's nice to be thanked.
It is.
Yes.
I certainly thank you.
Thank you.
You're doing very important work, Frank.
I think so. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's see if we can get you some help and some support. And we'll be doing an even better job together.
Well, I expect to be able to do it better.
Thank you.
Yes.
If you have just joined us, I am speaking with Frank Cooney. Frank is the executive director of California Citizens for Health Freedom. He works tirelessly as a legislative advocate for the state of California. This is a volunteer position with great responsibility to the people of California. I interviewed Frank because California is one of the most restrictive states when it comes to health care legislation. It is people like Frank that have the ability and know-how to turn the tide in the people's favor when it comes to new and unrestrictive choices in health care. You can help with donating time to this worthwhile group. What is more important than having the ability and knowledge to maintain good health? If you don't have your health, does anything else truly matter? If you're retired, independently wealthy, or maybe convalescing from a health condition yourself, and desire to contribute as a volunteer to this group in helping the legislative process, you will gain much personal satisfaction in knowing that your time is well spent. Even educating yourself on the law and disseminating this information to others or groups will help to better the law. It is in collaboration that we can attain the highest good for all. California Citizens for Health Freedom is a 501c4 tax-deductible charitable organization with the ability to lobby for change. If you have the financial ability to help this group to make positive changes for the state of California, please contact Frank and visit the website at www.citizenshealth.org. Frank can be reached by email at freedom@citizenshealth.org. His phone number is 530-533-3264. Let's return with Frank as he discusses the legislative process.
Yes, I've been asked to comment a little bit about the legislative process. And the majority of bills, by both on the federal government side and on the state side, are done in the legislative process in the Capitol by the legislators. And of course, there is disagreement in both the federal government and in the state government between parties, being Republican Party or Democratic Party, supporting the bill, such as the Democrats would be very supportive of Social Security, Medi-Cal, where a number of Republicans feel too much money is going that way and we need to cut costs down, so we'll cut Social Security down. I was talking to a gentleman today that came through, and his company has a small lab, and he does lab tests on dead people. It gets more information for the medical community in that, and Medicare has cut 40% of what he's doing. He's going broke. And those companies are all going broke onto it because the cuts they have, that he's losing money by trying to stay in business, you know, and it's a vital service he's providing to the public. So sometimes we hurt that process. Now, there is a process, like the bill that just passed recently requires vaccination of children must be done, and if that's not done, they will not be able to be in public education. It'll be held against them. There's a similar bill being proposed on the federal level, and there's one being proposed on it for adults. All adults will have the vaccination, and if you don't have them, then they can cut your Social Security.
Is there a danger that the Child Protective Services can remove a child from the home for non-compliance with this law?
Not at this point, but they will not. They will. They have to be homeschooled, which means are all parents capable of teaching a child all the way through elementary school, through high school? And will the children be educated well enough to be good taxpayers and tax earners at that particular time? You know, and it's a question of many people believe that vaccinations in children are very harmful. And it is a known fact that children have died from vaccinations onto it. So the result is they say, we don't want to make the choice. Where some other people will say, okay, I will agree with some of the important vaccinations, but some of the newer ones I will not agree with. And I want my child to be vaccinated this way. I want the child to have one vaccination in 1 month, and maybe the next month have the next vaccination, but all these vaccinations are not done together because the combination of them can be too much for the child. And in reality, if the child's immune system is weakened through vaccinations, then you have a potential cancer situation onto it. And people who are very knowledgeable in holistic healing become questionable. I don't want to put my child through the type of experience. I want to do it. But now I'd like to have my child go to public school to get a better education. So what do I do? Endanger and have them go through what I see as an endangerment process to them and not have an education, and say, possibly not be able to go to college and university because he doesn't have the necessary studies in it, and what kind of laboring then will he be doing in the future? See, and these are really questions that people have, and that's why they're trying to change, put an initiative in. An initiative is a process that costs a lot of money because you have to have huge number of people sign the initiative, which was what's going on in this conference. People signing the initiative, saying, I'm a voter in this county and signing in this county to be it. And if they get enough signatures in the various counties, then it's put on a ballot, and then it goes before the voters decide. Well, first off, in that, you got to get enough people convinced to sign the initiative. And a lot of people are not aware. They believe that vaccinations are good, but they don't understand the other part. They're not as well knowledgeable as the people in holistic health area is to it. And then when they vote on it, the same thing applies. Is there enough on it, such as the vaccination thing passed because 5 children in California got measles, I think, when they were at Disneyland and were exposed. And they said, well, we got a crisis in California, we got a disease that's going to occur. Well,
it's very few children die from measles.
Yes, and it's treatable and it's controllable, you know.
And it's short term.
And it's natural, yes. But that's what the people that are objecting to the vaccination process. But that vaccination process was put through because publicity wise it became, we're facing a major medical challenge, like AIDS was a major medical challenge. And to a degree it was, but not the measles thing here in California. Didn't come anyplace near like AIDS is. And there is a new illness, a new virus that's attacking people that is leading to death. It is a crisis onto it. I do understand there is crisis in medicine. And people, our crisis ought to be telling people what's out there and help them get their health systems better. Build the immune systems and strengthen them. Okay. The question is, are there programs that combine the chemotherapy approach and the alternative approaches together? Yes, there is an approach that's used in France and Germany and in the United States, across the United States. But recently, a friend of mine who's a physician here in California, in Southern California, was treating a patient with it. And simply what it says is you strengthen the person's immune system, you improve their health status. So basically, the cancer is being fought by the immune system, but you also then introduce into the personal by a little bit of sugar into the intestinal tract. And the cancer loves sugar. And the cancer has to be fed. So the cancer cells might leave the heart and other areas and go into the intestinal tract, and the low-dose chemotherapy can kill the cancer cells there. And it's a way, very successful way, of treating cancer. So it's a way that I would say that chemotherapy is good. Well, the medical board got the case and told the physician. Fortunately, they didn't say, we're going to take your license. But basically, he wasn't using the chemotherapy the way chemotherapy is supposed to use. Otherwise, in major dosages to fight the cancer, he was told, you may not do it anymore. You may not use that treatment approach anymore in treating cancer. You have to stop treating, stop doing that. Which is, so a person approaches him and says, I'd like to have this treatment approach. It's legal and done in France or England or Germany or Washington. You know, but he may not do it. And medical board has changed a lot in the last, that I've seen, in the last 20 years. Of course, it's a board of independent people that are appointed. There are some physicians on the board. But the board before would rush to change the license or to have the physician take the license away or have the physician jailed and what have you. And now they're going, when we presented our bill as an organization, they were one organization that did not object to our bill and take a position against it. Because they know they're having to enforce laws that are not good. You know, the laws are in the books, so they have to follow the law and do that, but they're trying to be. So they'd like to see, I think they'd like to see the law change so they don't have to enforce the law. It's just like the big questions that are going out now about how do we police people, you know, and just go through that process of the big questions now across the country on how do police approach people and how do they deal with them and things like that. And they're changing the laws on that process. Well, the same thing. And then the medical board is caught in that process and feel they need to do that. So that hopefully will be with us in the process and dealing with that. Mm. But I do lean towards more the natural approach, saying, yeah, there are supplements that the person can take that'll increase the functioning of the immune system, and persons being positive. I fairly strongly, personally believe in the chakra system, where energy can be brought into the human body and is brought into it. This is thousands of years old from India, and your body doesn't speak English to you, or French or German or Mexican. What you have to do is you have to give your body a picture of what you want to do. So you visualize the energy coming through your crown chakra on the top, mm-hmm. and going down and flowing through your breast or wherever the cancer may be, and seeing that healing, beginning the healing process. And you'll see the negative energy, which is the cancer, coming out of the body, flowing out of the body. Well, you're instructing your body to heal yourself.
To heal.
And it doesn't cost anything.
Right.
And it can be done as a complement to the other treatment processes. I don't think I'd recommend it as saying, this is the only way you ought to go. But it's a way that a person can work on and utilize and move forward in that process so that you can get rid of, detoxify the body, get rid of the poisons that are in the body, particularly the heavy metals that possibly in the body. And some of those, like mercury, which is for the older person, has been in their dental system, and cancer is caused by the mercury in the dental system. They have that process, fortunately, beginning to change on the fluoride, which is a toxic poison and should be illegal, but the political process in that has been so strong that fluoride is now put in the drinking water, and more cities are putting the fluoride in the drinking water, which means put more poison in the water. Well, children drink poison water, adults, and in time that can affect the health status and the wellness status of the body. So that's an example of that process. And fluoride, most people are not aware of, is a waste product from the aluminum industry. When an aluminum is made, the fluoride, which is in the soil, is taken out of the aluminum, and the aluminum industry was caught in the bind. How are we going to get rid of all this waste? Well, the way to put it was, let's convince people it's good and have it put it in the water system. So it was a good public relations campaign, put it in your toothpaste, but you still swallow it at times, and kids stuff, but let's convince people that it's a good thing to do. And pretty soon, yeah, it's in that, and we have the same process occurring that the use of plastic bottles are good, but some of the plastics have toxins in it, mm-hmm. and it goes out into the water, and we're drinking those toxins, you know, and then if you mix, some of the terrible stuff they put in soda pop, which is terrible, but people, and even the sports drink now often have products in it that is not good, the artificial sweeteners, and that's not good for human consumption, but public relations and convincing the public, this is wonderful, and we can make more money off of it. Why not make more money off of it and harm the public? That's their problem, not my problem. I want the money, you know. So we have this in the industry. We've had it in the lining of the cans of canned foods, that for a while the cans itself were bad into it. Toxins were coming out of the can, the lining of the can, and going into the food. And we were taking the toxins. Now, the chemicals we put into the food system, and as an illustration, corn now generally is not good to eat, primarily because the corn farmers became convinced that, one, they can grow the corn faster and have three crops a year instead of two crops a year by putting particular type of fertilizer in the soil, which naturally is absorbed into the plant and goes up into the corn, and so you're eating that within the corn, which you didn't have, and then they spray it with pesticide material, and that pesticide material, which is toxin poison, to kill the weeds, but it also is absorbed into the corn itself and brought up through the corn and going into the corn. So a fine food, and oh boy, do I enjoy corn on the cob, but organic corn on the cob instead of pesticide-ridden corn on the cob. People got to be careful, but most of the corn that is now in our cans is pesticide-ridden type of corn, as I would describe it, you know, in that process. And we have that, how many cans of soup can you buy that doesn't have corn in it, or you know, the mixed vegetables, and when we go to the restaurant to eat, a good part of that food, such as now the beef industry, we have farms where the cattle are all close together, and of course they've got to have the healthy cows, so what do? They shoot them up with chemicals to keep them well, to give them shots, and then pretty soon that is into the meat itself. And then when the cow is butchered, it's got the chemicals in it. So in reality, a lot of the beef that is being sold or is being in the food, when you go to the restaurant, order a hamburger, you're eating meat that has chemicals in it. Where 50 years ago or 100 years ago, that didn't exist. I am old enough that we were raised on a small farm and we raised our own cattle, but we had 35 acres and we'd have maybe two cows or three cows. So we didn't have to put pesticide into them, we didn't have to jam it together. We never thought or heard of, well, shoot the cow up so they won't get sick. We never heard of doing that, and we did our own butchering, so we knew we had. And the same thing applies to chickens, is the chickens are crowded together in cages. Where before, when we raised chickens, we'd have one chicken in a cage, and then we let them out and run during the day, and they'd come back and go up into their cages. Now they have four or five chickens in one cage, and they want to have the chickens well, shoot them up. So the chicken has the meat, just like the cattle have it, you know, or other type of meat products. I mean, we're getting into a more sophisticated society where we know most of the disease of cancer and illnesses come from our diet and our lifestyle. So we need to change and work on that.
Yes.
That's a little more added, but
that's... Well, I'm going to thank you for your participation today and for the position that you hold, which is so important for the people of California. And this is not a program just for California, but maybe we're helping to educate the rest of the world the kind of situation that we are dealing with here in California. And
well, some of it is.
Yeah, and it's also elsewhere.
The dairy products and the egg products and the food systems and the pesticides put into it, yes. The more organic you eat, grow your own vegetables. Grow them in good soil.
Healthy soil.
Healthy soil.
Healthy vegetables.
Yeah. Good old cow's manure.
Yes.
That's coming from cows that are not shut up with them.
Well, thank you very much
for being
with us on Prepare for Change Radio.
Happy to be. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for being with us for this hour. Please join us each Sunday night on BBS Radio Station 1 at 9 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Shows can also be heard in the Archives section of the Media tab. Please remember that PFC is a volunteer group and we survive by donations only. So look deep within, and if you feel guided, we encourage you to go to prepareforchange.net website and donate an amount you can afford. That way you can assist us to continue the work at prepareforchange.net global movement. We thank you for your generosity and your much-needed show of love and kindness. Remember, we are all voices of the world.
the vision of harmony appearing within our sight. From every culture, every faith, a flower blooms to right each wrong. We are the voices of the world. Add your voice and sing along. Spirit lifts us high to fill our hearts again with song.